We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on OMF, we started the program today learning that Kyle Van Noy is going to be released by the Miami Dolphins, and obviously the Patriots should have some interest in him. But we also heard Mike Giardi write this today: what's next for Cam Newton and the Patriots? And he broke it down and said the idea that you could place the entirety of blame at Newton's feet for the lack of points and yards and overall offensive efficiency is scoffed at by everyone I spoke to. He was speaking to players. In fact, many believe the signal caller's progress was impressive, especially when you consider that he was surrounded by one of the least productive wide receiver tight end groups in the league, and came to the conclusion it's a possibility that maybe the best answer for the Patriots would be Cam Newton back at quarterback. Are we going through this again?
No. Don't get sucked in. Don't get sucked in. It's a siren song, and all Mike Giardi is just another, you know, mermaid sitting on the rocks trying to influence you to crash and die on the rocks. Like this is what this is. You got to fight it. It's like a tractor beam. It sucks you in when you least expect it, and the more you fight, like the worse it gets. I'm not buying it. To me, when I saw this with Mike, this article from Mike, you talked to a lot of people. And everybody's basically just giving a long list of reasons why he wasn't successful. But everything, so you give this long list of, hey, listen, he was great here. You know, he didn't have this. It's the same list, Lou. But then it's always, yeah, but he's kind of hurt and he can't throw the ball downfield and got to have it in the right system. It's got to be the perfect setup. He's got to have a ton of weapons. Like, it's all the same stuff. To me, just another example of another reporter, although one of our guys.
That's why it's disappointing. He's trying to suck you in.
He's trying to, you know, because misery loves company. Okay, so that's what this is.
But you get nobody one of these every day.
I think it was last week with Dale and Keith, and he gave a percentage, right? It was like
30, 35,
40%. 45%. It was high. Ooh. It was way too high. After I read this, I was like, I think he's trying to tell us that it's more like 60%, because players want him, guys on the roster want him, coaches love him, coaches feel like they can win with him, coaches rave about him. So, listen, if we don't get the guy we want, we still got Cam sitting there. We'll pay him a little bit better this time. And, oh, by the way, we'll sign him earlier.
Yeah, this is like the biggest, I don't know, just mind trick on you I think you could possibly play. It's almost like people are trying to convince you you didn't watch what you watched last year.
Yeah.
Like, really? Like, and I think we'll all sit here and admit that the weapons were awful. But you pointed this out before. The more the weapons talk, you know, they all turn video after every game. You know, it's not the weapons. Look, these guys are open. Showing this guy open. That guy. Showing all these guys open. But we watched him. And it's the arm strength, the inaccuracy. Like, he doesn't have it anymore. And people are now convincing you, trying to, that he was actually pretty good. And that he got better. I think at some point in this article with Giardi, like, players were saying how they were impressed and how much better he got as the year went on.
When did that happen?
And I would argue it got worse as the season went on. It got more predictable, and if they played five or six more games, they would have been 1-4, 1-5. Like, they got worse as the season went on. Not better.
Listen, I think we all admit that the weapons were not there, but there's no chance that this team in the offseason is going to suddenly present us in September with a wide receiver and tight end core that you saw down in Tampa Bay. So maybe they upgrade slightly. So does anybody believe that Cam Newton can release the ball quick enough to get any daylight with any of those receivers? I don't believe it. It's not going to happen.
Whatever happened to the whole, hey, so how do you get better throwing the ball? You know, hey, the answers are in that locker room. The answers, it's right there. Those are the guys. You have a first-round draft pick in N'Keal Harry. You had two, three of the best tight ends. To me, that's the biggest issue.
You're not getting Edelman back. I will give it to you.
You didn't. But I would say they adjusted. And what they did is they focused on what he did best instead of what he couldn't do. So they didn't throw the ball a lot. They ran the ball a ton. The dude has 12 rushing touchdowns. And don't point to the Seattle game. Don't point to any of these, against the Jets. Sure, every now and then
a blind squirrel. Needed a 51-yard field goal.
And no, it isn't all of the quarterback's fault, but it's probably, depending his play, he gets 90%, almost 90% of it.
You know what it makes me think? Like all these articles about Cam. Maybe he's just completely out of the picture, but wouldn't you think we'd have an article by now with players sitting there saying, it was just a lost year for him, but I'm confident that Jared Stidham can play in this league and be our starting quarterback?
What's Andy Hart's MO? Andy Hart is saying, give the guy another opportunity. He didn't really have a
Andy Hart, but
too.
Is there an anonymous player that says that, he might not have been ready last year because, the offseason hurt him and he didn't have much time and he's a young player. He needed that stuff and he just wasn't ready. But there were signs that if he was the guy moving forward, year three, I'd be confident with him. I haven't heard whispers of that.
Stidham might as well not even be on the team.
Right. So I'm just saying,
he will be, and Andy Hart's right. He's going to get an opportunity to at least be in the competition, and we'll see whether he survives it or not. But they're going to bring him back. I mean, why not? He's cheap dollars, and they can always dump him at the end of August. Well, why not bring him back?
But the question is,
are they going to bring Cam Newton back?
I agree. And I think a lot of people are talking about Cam and the weapons and everything else. I just thought by now there'd be someone talking about Jared Stidham. And obviously he's not that good. I mean, Bill told us everything by not playing him. So it is what it is with him. But this continuation of, Cam Newton, he was actually better than all of you Patriots fans saw last night with your own eyes last year. Like, you guys all watched him. And there's still some people that believe in him, I think, but the majority of you watched him and actually liked the human being, liked the guy, but didn't want to watch him play quarterback anymore. And all these people now, he hasn't played football in 2 months, are telling you what you saw wasn't real because he's actually pretty good last year.
So somebody's got to fill me in on what I missed. They have to fill me in on what I missed. And Giardi writes in this thing, one thing Newton's certain about is his desire to sign a new contract much earlier than he did last year. Why would it be in the best interest right now of the New England Patriots to go out there and sign Cam Newton now? Why?
Okay. He can want all he wants. I mean, Jackie Bradley's still waiting for a 4-year contract, right? I mean, what's reality? I don't know. I would be shocked if a team signs this guy a week into free agency.
How about a month in free agency?
Shocked. Unless it's something.
86 nights.
Well, unless it's something like, Mariota last year, the Raiders identified and said, Derek Carr, there's still some questions. Let's go get this guy. Yeah. I don't even know. I don't even know who it would be. Like, if the Bears are like, we think Foles is our guy, let's bring in Cam for competition. Like, even then, wouldn't there be others that you'd be looking at to do that first?
See, here's another line from Mike's column that I kind of chuckled at, okay? Because it says, he talks about, how well Cam Newton did and, calling the plays and their approach towards that. And then he says, they didn't have a lot of time working together. And he says, in fact, there are strong voices at all levels of the franchise who believe McDaniels did a fine job teaching Newton a language that had been written decades ago and that Newton was, by and large, up to that task. All right, so Josh is teaching him this language, but he's also changing it. Yeah. He's changing it. But he's changing it and not telling him. I don't believe anything. Okay? I don't believe any of it. So every person is talking about what a great job Josh McDaniels did and how everyone was happy to work with him, and everybody got along great. But Cam Newton goes out there and says, "Ah, man, it was so tough, man. I come back and they changed everything on me." So where's the truth at? Like, who's telling the truth? To me, and I've been saying this, is that this is one big marketing push by Cam Newton. Like, how much can I spin this? How many people, he knows people are going to say nice things about him.
Yeah.
Because he didn't do anything wrong.
No.
Off the field. No. He was great.
Yeah.
So why would anyone ever say anything negative about him? He dances before practice. He says all the right things. It's the same old song and dance. But after all the compliments, it's, well, you know, he can't throw. His shoulders hurt. He can't throw it deep. He's not accurate. He has no strength. Like, he can't throw it downfield.
A long release. His back shoulder drops. Like, he's about to throw it 40, 50 yards, and it's just a 10-yard pass. Like, it's just, you watch him, and it's the shoulder. Like, Ben Volen can say that Bill Belichick is raving about him all he wants. But he always ends it with, but Billy's concerned about the shoulder.
He's a quarterback.
That's like saying, I absolutely love this pitcher, but I'm concerned about his elbow. And as a free agent. And you're like, okay, well, yeah, well, that tells you everything you need to know, right? Like, I need that elbow. I need that shoulder to throw a football. Seems like a nice guy, but I don't think he can throw a football.
I just think this is, I just don't understand where this is coming from. I think we all see it. We watch it. And we're sitting there going, nice guy. He was fine this year as far as, you know, getting him through the season. How can anybody look at it and think he should come back? We got callers. Let's go to Gino in Dorchester, who believes Cam Newton should come back. Go ahead. Make the case, Gino.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
Couple questions. You know, you guys keep bragging on Cam. You know, I don't think that it's fair. You know, put anybody else in his shoes that's going to be available. I keep hearing Mariota. I think he's garbage. But put Cam in a situation where we get somebody like Allen Robinson or Fuller.
You know what I mean?
That so it possibly. We got a lot of cap space. I think Bill's going to push for that. But my whole point is, you guys keep saying Cam is trash. But who else do we have available around the guys that we have currently would have done better? He can run the ball, get us some points on the ground along with our boys. We have Burkhead out, Edelman out. I just don't think he got a fair share last season, and we didn't put any weapons around him. And that, I think that's a fair point, and I think that's very important to compare him with everyone else you guys are saying that could replace him.
I don't, because if you watched him, he couldn't get the ball to the receivers. He'd bounce it five yards in front of them. That wasn't the receiver's problem.
Completing the season. He was like 65%, right?
Yeah.
I think he was top 10, you know, which was a decent. You know, which is decent.
No.
But who is he throwing it to?
I'll give it to you.
He had no tight ends.
No, hold
New
on.
England is based off of tight ends, quick passes.
Hold on.
He had no tight ends for the past couple years.
Gino, 65.8% completion percentage, right? 18th in the NFL. 18th in the NFL. But also, fewer than 180 yards passing. He averaged 177. Since the merger of the NFL and the AFL in 1970, there were only five guys that have done that. He's one of five.
Gino, here's the thing.
That's a negative.
Gino, we all agree. We all agree a trash to throw to. We all agree with that. Okay? But, you can't just sit there. I mean, you could have grabbed the worst guy, a Division I college football player who couldn't throw in this league, and you could say the same thing about him. But we got to look at the individual play of quarterback. When you watched him throw a football, did you say he still has it, but he doesn't have any weapons? Is that what you thought in your mind when you watched him play?
There were times where it was a little weak. I agree with you guys on that.
What do you mean a little times? A few times.
His arm.
What do you mean a few times?
I think he can get the ball in there if you give him some time as well. I just think we draft somebody, re-sign Cam, and you know, get some weapons, and I think we make the playoffs.
I love it. Again, we're going back to the weapons thing. The whole weapons thing. We bitched about the weapons, and then everyone's telling us they do have weapons. They are open. Also, I remember it became a whole, like, okay, whose fault is it? Like, who's not getting open? I just go back to obvious passing situations when guys are open and the ball goes into the dirt. And I'm not talking about a high volume of things to think about and to diagnose. I'm talking about real easy, you know, elementary type stuff. And I would say that I've seen enough. And I would also add this. Let's just say you do bring him, you give him three awesome skill set players, right? You give him a great tight end. You give him, two great wide receivers. What routes can you actually run? Because exactly. He can only throw certain routes. So, I mean, okay, well, it's easy for defenses to play against the Patriots' offense because they're predictable. Hell, let Jacoby Myers catch a bunch of passes if I'm the Jets. I don't care. If Jacoby Myers beats us, okay, tip your cap and we'll move on. Nobody's worried about him beating them. So they let him catch all these passes for a bunch of yards. Somebody's covering them. But give him a bunch of weapons and then try and run your high-level offense and see what you get out of it. Like, all those receivers are just going to be frustrated because he can't make the throws.
The very few catches that N'Keal Harry made, a few of them were spectacular. And why? Because they weren't accurate. He had to go a distance to get them. People would call up, and I swear to God, they're making up stuff about Cam Newton. We had a guy call up yesterday, and he was talking about how Cam was so great at the 20 yards or more, deep passes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The last year, Cam Newton had one pass of 50-plus yards, dead last in the league. He had just 38 pass plays of 20 yards or more. That was tied for 29th. So where are they coming up with these stats?
The last bomb, the last game of the year against the Jets? The last game against the Jets, he had a good game against the Jets, who had quit.
So they remember that last game and think that he could throw the ball deep.
Yeah.
But you look at the numbers, and the numbers don't bear that out. I don't know what people are watching. Here's Mark next up here on OMF. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much again for taking my call.
What's up?
You guys are so spot on. It's crazy. I mean, that Harry point is phenomenal. The fact that, you know, yeah, he made some incredible catches, but they're so all over the map that it was hard to see a normal catch. It just reminded me so much of, like, Mike Evans and Johnny Manziel in college, where Mike Evans is making all these amazing catches, and then they're saying, like, oh, Johnny Manziel is so great, such a great quarterback. So, no, I mean, Mike Evans is an amazing wide receiver because he has to go get these balls. But going back to kind of just Cam in general, I think people that want Cam to come back are just living in this, like, 2015, 2016 delusional past where, like, I love Cam Newton in Auburn. I love him in Carolina. He looked so good. He was so much fun. Great watching. He's just not that guy anymore. He's broken. He struggles to run. He's never been accurate. He's even less accurate now. And so I don't think that it's even worth investing in even as a backup. I don't see why you can't go get someone like, you know, Jameis. Sure, he throws a lot of interceptions. He's turnover crazy. But at least he's something that Josh McDaniels can work with and can mold. He's still young enough to be able to do that. Cam set in his ways. I think he's done.
Yeah, it's. I tell you, we said it the other day. Like, he is getting better with every day.
I mean, I would say every minute.
No, every single day. He
just won Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Last year, you know, when you look at it and say, man, 8 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, quarterback rating of 82, and a QBR of 47. No, that's not true. Actually, he was very good last year, and it's happening. It's happening quicker than I thought. I don't know. In a month, I don't know how good he's going to be. I don't know. Maybe he made the Pro Bowl. I have no idea. But it's like this idea of Cam Newton. And honestly, like, since 2015, the last 5 years, you know, a quarterback that has 73 touchdowns and 54 picks and a quarterback rating of 82 and a completion percentage of 60. Take the name away. That's not good. And it's gotten worse. Like, it's not good. But with every single day, this guy's getting better and better. And I think it's more people are being convinced of it. Like, I feel like it's like a 50-50 split right now of people calling in wanting Cam and saying he wasn't that bad last year to people who don't want him anymore. It's like they're trying to trick what you even saw last year. It's like you don't believe your eyes.
I'm
playing mind games.
It is you become hypnotized because every person who writes something, all the information they get is the same as the other guy, Kern, Jeff Ho, Giardi. they all got the same. He's a great guy. He's a great teammate. Arm issues.
I think part of it might be that Brady struggled in the second half of the season before because he didn't have the weapons. And this guy had fewer weapons than Brady had in the second half of that season, right? And so people are looking at it and saying, now I saw Brady go to Tampa Bay, and he's got those unbelievable weapons, and look what's happening. Yeah, but Brady is quick to release the ball.
Strong
Brady
arm.
Is an accurate passer. Brady can throw the ball a mile, even though people here thought for years he couldn't because they were running a lot of underneath stuff. Cam can't do any of this stuff. You know where Cam was better than Tom Brady? In the red zone, running the football. When you have to run the football and you want to run that little option on the goal line, I will take Cam Newton in that situation.
You think?
Every single time. Yes, I will. Other than that, no.
Even though Brady's got a pretty high quarterback sneak average.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, I'm thinking you're 2 or 3 yards out. It might be a little too
I would like for this to officially be the last day. I feel like we should have a Cam Newton funeral. I feel like something to that effect where maybe it's just a break. You know, maybe we just, yes, Brian, I think we should bury it. Like when we had bad games, I probably didn't do this in baseball because you had too many games. You'd be burying balls all over your yard, but we would bury the football. All right, listen, we're going to act like this was never alive. It's dead. It's gone. It's over. I feel like we should take like a number one jersey and bury it.
I thought you wanted to actually.
No, I want him to live.
Okay.
Oh, remember, I like him. However, I do not want him to be the quarterback of the New England Patriots.
We want him on the radio every Monday morning. I don't care what he's doing.
Talking about, I want him to be the new Boomer Esiason.
Yes, in the morning.
But he doesn't want to be the new Boomer Esiason. He
wants
to be,
Greg.
I would say, best case, I still think he's out of the league. Best case scenario is he's a backup.
I just think this
whole but where is he a backup at? Who's willing to bring Cam Newton?
Well, what kind of team is it a backup? Is he a backup for, an established quarterback? Is he a backup for Kyler Murray? A young kid who's really, really good? Is he a backup for who?
I think
is he a backup for Ben
Russell
Roethlisberger?
Wilson.
Or is he a backup for is he something like that? Or is he a backup to, Nick Foles? Is he a backup to in Washington, who they don't even know their quarterback is?
So can
he
fight
for a starting job?
Can he be a backup quarterback, though, Lou, with that strong personality?
I don't think he can.
He has. I don't
he
think
intimidates
he can.
People.
I think if you put him, let's say you put him behind Kyler Murray, I'm not sure that's a good thing. You're trying to develop Kyler Murray and the confidence in him. The one thing we all agree with is that Cam Newton has a dynamic personality. That's why these players are saying nice things about him. They enjoyed his company. They enjoyed being around him. And I think that is putting too much pressure on that other guy.
I would say he'd be a great backup in Seattle. He'd be a great backup in Green Bay. He'd be a great backup in Tampa. He'd be a great backup in Dallas after they signed Dak Prescott. Anywhere where there is an established starter and there is no fear of you losing your job.
Okay,
like, there's never going to be
any
that type of
situation. That's him quitting on his dream of being a starting quarterback in this league.
Yeah, I don't see him. I don't see him doing
that. You listen to him talk? Like, he's like, I can't go out like this after the tape I put out there. There's not 32 quarterbacks better than me. You think he's ready for a backup? No. He's going to go out there and try to show that he could start, and he's trying to find the best spot. And I'm not so sure he's going to find
I'm not
32.
He's right.
He's 35.
He intimidates people. He intimidates younger players, especially younger players who are enamored with him.
He might have noticed him.
Okay, maybe that's a case in point. So I would say Kyler Murray will be fine. Kyler Murray is at no risk of losing his job. And even if he did get hurt, Cam Newton would hold on to it, and then you would put Kyler Murray in as quickly as possible. I just feel like there's going to be a time where, if you bring him in to compete for the job, you better be a team that doesn't have any. So you need another New England.
What I'm saying is that if that's the case, that is not his first choice. That'll be him realizing that that's the only type of fit for him. He is not early in the camp going to sit there and sign this type of deal to be a Kyler Murray babysitter and a mentor. He's not looking for that. He doesn't sound like he's looking for that. Now, he might actually have to be forced to take that if he wants to stay in the league, but he's going to hold out. He's going to wait for some team to come and say, Cam, you're our starter. Last year, we know you weren't ready. A full season, you're going to be ready to go with us. I just don't see that happening.
I think it's more likely that you get Pittsburgh brings Roethlisberger back. Roethlisberger gets hurt in preseason, earlier in the season, or has some physical problems, and then they bring somebody like Cam Newton in there.
Right. And no time to you know, work the system.
Right.
Know the playbook again.
Right.
More excuses.
Yep.
Cam, next year he'll be much better. He didn't have much camp in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
How about Houston? No, I'm not kidding.
Well, they may not have
How about
quarterback.
Houston?
Who's the backup quarterback in Houston? Do we even know?
Cam Newton.
Maybe.
I mean, it's, maybe. Hey, listen, man. I had Nick Casera. He's great, man. Stop being so hard on him. He's a good. I'm not kidding. You gotta bring in a support system.
I was convinced, and we'll see what Houston has. That Bill actually looked at Cam as a fit for his team because he knew he didn't have any weapons.
Yes.
So he's not worried about Cam not being able to throw the football.
No, we can because
we really don't have many to go.
We're
so
gonna run.
At least he brings an part of his game, the running style of his game that can help us offensively.
Yep.
But if he had wide receivers and tight ends, I don't think he wants anything to do with Cam because he knows he doesn't throw the ball very well. But with that team, so Houston, if you lose Will Fuller and you don't have many, and Brandon Cooks is gone, and you don't have any wide receivers anyways, and you want to run the ball, okay.
Well, Cam is, he's got experience. Hey, I can win you seven games.
If you have offensive weapons, I have no idea why you'd want to bring Cam in to throw the football to him.
So let me ask you this. Are we going to go through this over the next couple of months? Why would the Patriots sign him right now anyway? Mike Giardi is claiming in this piece today that he wants to sign early. He does not want to wait 86 nights again. And if that's the case, is this not going to get ugly in the next couple of months? Because Cam's going to be talking, no?
Wait, what would become ugly? Why would it become ugly?
Because he's out there in the open market waiting for the Patriots to sign him.
I told you, it's being said. Cam will be the next blackballed quarterback. He's going to be blackballed in this league. And they're going to because everybody's hyping him up to where he actually had a good year. And when he doesn't have a job and it's July, they don't want to hire him because he's got too much of a personality. The teams are afraid of Cam Newton's personality. That's the way it's being set up.
See, no team wanted him last year. Patriots took him at the end because nobody wanted him, and they got him for $500,000. That's all they had to guarantee him. And you would think that more teams would have wanted him a year ago, just the curiosity of Cam Newton. Now you've seen him as a starter for an entire season. How is it that he's gotten better in the minds of these teams? I think it's just the opposite. If you're a general manager, you've seen enough of them now to say, you know what? It doesn't work for us. Mm. I don't get it. Bill's in Bill Ricka, next up here in EEI.
Hey,
hello, Bill.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for letting me on today. My thing is that I believe that Belichick is throwing, and the organization is throwing up a little bit of a smoke screen. You don't want to show all your cards. You don't want to pretend that we're stuck here. We don't have any options whatsoever, because then the price of something else coming along might be a little bit more. So, I mean, he's not gonna say we're screwed here. We don't have anybody. He's gonna throw it out there that this is a possibility. We could probably bring him back, and then that way the cost of another quarterback, a Mariota or whoever they decide to sign, might come down just a little bit. I mean, I think they're smart enough to do that. I think that's what you do in business, and I think that's what they're doing. And as far as Cam Newton being better, he is worse than 32 quarterbacks in the league. In all my years, and I'm 16, all my years of watching football, I can't think of another quarterback that was worse than him towards the end of this year, throwing the ball at people's feet and that sort of thing. I mean, I can't think of any. Can you think of any horrendous quarterbacks that were worse than him towards the end?
Stay strong, Bill.
Get used to it. Get used to it.
See, I think people are looking at it knowing that they can't get somebody like Deshaun Watson, because I think they would dump Cam Newton in a heartbeat if they could get Deshaun Watson. And they look at these other names like Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota and even Jimmy Garoppolo, and they're saying, well, is there a difference? I don't care. I think any of those guys, I'd rather take a shot with one of those other guys and see what he can present. It might not be your answer. It certainly, you're still part of that bridge, you know, trying to build something. But, God, to bring Cam back, I don't see how anybody can be optimistic that you can have a big season. I don't care how many moves you make.
Yeah, see, I don't see it being like a smokescreen either. I could just see guys like Giardi, guys like Tommy Curran, and everybody, you know, Jeff Howe, whatever. I mean, their job is to write articles that people are interested in. Write an article saying it makes sense that Cam Newton comes back. Like, that's their job to do it. You know, I don't think that they're... You know, Bill is feeding him, hey, by the way, there's still a chance. You know, creating some kind of smoke screen. I think they're just They know what they want to talk about. And they know that Cam Newton, people are interested in what the hell happens with him. I mean, look at the NFL Network, for Christ's sakes. That guy we talked to earlier, Greg Rosenthal. He put his list of 101 free agents, right? And you go to NFL.com in that sidebar, top stories, top 100 NFL free agents. In parentheses, said Cam at 26. Oh. Like, nationally, they know that that's clickbait. Cam Newton, 26. Let me read this. Like, it's, and so locally, you localize it, and all these reporters do too. So I don't think they're really, you know, Cam, this discussion of Cam coming back is like Bill trying to create some kind of smokescreen at all.
No, I don't think there's a smokescreen out there at all. But I will say this, that there are rumors out there that Bill may be interested in moving up in the draft. Exactly what you want him to do. We'll get to that coming up next right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Follow the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
There's not a stupid question, there's not a bad idea, and go.
Now back to OMF.
All right, back here on OMF, Tom E. Curran on Dale and Keith. An interesting little tidbit about what Bill might be interested in doing on draft night.
He has the Baker Mayfields, Carson Wentz's, Peyton Manning's, Philip Rivers's, Drew Brees's on his wall as trophies that he has, you know, conquered. So my question was, does Bill even want to get involved in a first-round quarterback when he knows that he's got him stacked like cordwood on his back deck? And I was told by people who intimately understand how he does, yes, he will get involved. He will be a first-round quarterback shopper if the right guy is there. He will get aggressive.
Lou's getting excited now.
Nice.
If the right guy is available. But that's not forcing the issue, though.
No, it's got, there's got to be a guy they really want.
I've never said just take one to take one.
No.
I always said if you like one and you got to go to four, if you think he's the guy, then you go
he's
to four.
Going, he's not going to four.
Whatever. Five, no way he's going six, to four. Seven. I always said the worst thing about this whole situation is that, you know, two and three is Jets and Dolphins, and I don't really think they're going to do any kind of trade with you to give you a guy that you think could be the future. So now you got to go to four. And five, six, seven, whatever. But if you identify two of these guys and they're still sitting there, then go. Go get them, period. End of story. That's the best chance you got of kind of reclaiming anything here in the next 4 or 5 years.
So I'd also be careful of Bill letting some of this stuff out, because let's face it, they normally do this. They interview and sit down and go through the process with all of the quarterbacks. And the reason that Bill does it is it gives him a little bit of scouting for when the player actually plays for an NFL team and he's got to compete against them. So it could be part of that that Bill's throwing out there. I don't know. But you're right. I think if they really like a guy, they'll certainly take him at 15 if he's there. And if they have to move up, they probably will do that. But the whole slew of all five guys, I can't believe they like all five guys.
See, but part of that interview with Curran, with Dale and Keith, was that Curran went through a long list, like a historical, you know, list of what Bill has done at the quarterback position, even with Cleveland. Get rid of Bernie Kosar, bring in Vinny Testaverde.
Which was really unpopular
Have Drew Bledsoe, keep Tom Brady. Get rid of Drew Bledsoe. Like, so, and if Brady, if he would have had an opportunity to switch and to push Brady out, he would have done it. He just couldn't do it based on just how elevated his play was. So he doesn't. And then Bernie Kosar was a first round pick, and Vinny Testaverde was like kind of like a retread at that point in time. Like, you know, not a journeyman, but you know, he was leaning towards that way.
Kosar was the local kid too, which made
and
him
that
even
is
more
my
unpopular.
Point. So he pushed him out. He brought in a guy that wasn't a first round draft pick, because you know what he said? You know, why do I need to pay a first round draft pick when I can get just as much from a fourth, fifth, or sixth? And if you look at the history of Bill since Tom Brady, it's been Rohan Davey. It's been Matt Castle. It's been guys that you've never heard of. Like Jimmy Garoppolo was a second round pick. You throw in Jacoby Brissett. They're not. He's not shopping in that first round talent
he's never had
pool.
To.
Well, but I don't. I think it's less to. About having to.
Because
Lou,
of Brady,
I think
though,
he
guys.
Can. I know, yeah, but I think that he believes, just like at the linebacker position or the cornerback position, or I think he believes that he can get just as much out of a third, fourth, and fifth rounder than he can a first rounder.
Well, that's
rounder.
A mistake. He's going to find that out,
and I think that's the problem.
He's going to find that's a problem. It's a big problem. Because I saw that when they list all these quarterbacks that they've drafted. And they've drafted some guys in the third round. Jimmy was in the second round. And I think a lot of that is, you know, they looked at the guy. They thought he could play. Maybe they develop him. And who knows? They might need him for Tom, but it was always like maybe upside. You know, let's just take these guys. Like Matt Castle is a good example. The guy never played college, right?
No.
Never played
was,
college.
Last time he played,
he was
high
behind. Who is it? Two
he
quarterbacks.
He never
both,
played.
He was behind two Heisman Trophy
Mark
winners.
Mark Sanchez, right? The second year.
No, it was Leinart. Matt Leinart. The other one who was at.
But I'm just saying,
Cincinnati.
Like, so he was able to take guys in that third round that he looked at, like maybe looked at Mallett the same way. Had a big arm, so it's just a lot of potential there. I could take a shot. Maybe this guy can become something. And no big deal. I still got Brady. Now it's a different, he's got to have a different attitude towards it. He cannot think, and I know that, I think Seth Wickersham had it where people in that office said that they felt like they could win with a top, you know, average player quarterback, whatever, 15th best quarterback in the league they can win with. He cannot think like that, because I tell you, he can't, he's wrong. Then that tells me he didn't appreciate what Brady did for him, to think that he can just win with any kind of quarterback. You can't. Look around the league. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. There's only four guys that can win a Super Bowl playing right now.
I believe that philosophy is innate in him. It's not changing.
Well, he's been successful.
Even in, I would say he was right in Cleveland.
No, he wasn't.
He took over a team that could not get to the playoffs. He got rid of Bernie Kosar. Mm-hmm. He brings in Vinny Testaverde, and he gets to the playoffs. He beat the Patriots.
Right, what happened the next year?
Well, if you look at history, you will look at
he
injuries.
Beat the Patriots. What did he win? Did we lose the next week?
My point is,
he can't
like,
win.
Okay, so he proved that if he had a building a team philosophy, which is what he used, he could win that way. He did. Okay, he didn't sustain it. They ended up firing him the second year after he went to the playoffs. Like Nick Saban, all those guys that are all over here coaching. That was him. And then so he comes in here, Drew Bledsoe's the quarterback. He wants to replace him to the point where he had four quarterbacks. Who keeps four
active,
quarterbacks?
Four active quarterbacks.
A team that keeps four quarterbacks is led by a coach that doesn't like the starting quarterback.
Right.
All John Freeze, who's the other guy? He had tons of guys Then he brings in Damon Heward. So I you know, you want him to be that quarterback. You want him to be that coach. He's not built that way.
Well,
he can't
win.
Do it.
Listen, he might be able to win with something less than Tom Brady, because you're not going to find another Tom Brady. But I don't think you can do it, and we saw it this past year, with a guy that can't play at a high level in the NFL. You need a top five, top 10 quarterback. You got to have that.
To me, this year in particular, the final four teams, Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, Josh Allen. But, you know, and that's, you can't win without a quarterback.
Yeah.
You can't do it. Like, mediocre quarterback, I don't think you can build a roster good enough. He might be able to build a roster good enough to go 11-5, but to be nothing but a fraud in the playoffs. Like, when the playoffs start, we sit there and say, look at these teams, 12 teams. How many quarterbacks do you believe in? You know, in the playoff teams. So those are the teams that are going to go far. But how many quarterbacks do you really believe in? Baker Mayfield? I mean, hopefully you can find a guy like Baker Mayfield. What's he going to win? You know, so it's just, that's why teams are trying to upgrade slightly. They're trying to get better at quarterback. And he's going to go from Cam Newton and try to upgrade slightly for the next couple of years and just be stuck in this mediocre team and 10-6. And we're going to praise Bill for turning this quarterback into a 10-6 quarterback. But they're going to be frauds.
See, I think you've got to win anything. I think you've got to be good at this. You've got to be right. And you have to be lucky. And it can't be just, we'll take any of the top five quarterbacks. So Mike Tannenbaum on ESPN. He comes out and starts talking about Alabama's Mac Jones.
You loved Justin Herbert last year. Who's your Justin Herbert this year?
University of Alabama's Mac Jones. This guy is a cross between Jimmy Garoppolo and Matt Ryan. He's more athletic than people realize. He's accurate. He's a winner. He is going to go a lot earlier than people realize, and he's going to be a frontline star in the NFL.
Boy, sounds like the perfect guy for the New England Patriots, right? He'll turn the whole franchise around. It's interesting because yesterday we had Mac Jones's quarterback trainer, guy by the name of Denny Thompson, on, and he loves the kid, but he's not buying all the hype.
I don't think he's going to go higher than that. I think a lot of this is clickbait and putting, you know, four quarterbacks in the top five. Guys know how to spin this. So I think he does fall past 15. My question with New England that you guys would know much better than I do is what is their offensive identity now? If their offensive identity is somebody spreads the ball around and can get you in and out of the right plays, then Mac certainly would fit that bill for whatever this is worth. And this time of year, this is normally not a compliment. He is a big-time locker room guy. That's what they want, and that's their identity, and they want to try to recapture that. Hell yeah, take him at 15 and see how it goes. But I think from a baseline talent perspective, I think he probably falls into the 20s.
Hmm. A little different than Tannenbaum.
I mean, Tannenbaum, I mean, God, I don't know. We got to throw out the last five or six things he said and see if anybody agrees with anything he's ever said. Like, you could see why he's the GM of the Jets. Like, holy smokes. So he's talking about Mac Jones and saying he's a lot better of an athlete, more athletic than people are giving him credit for what they see, right?
Yeah. This year's Herbert.
Yeah. Very. Herbert runs, correct?
Yeah, okay. He does. Yep.
So, again, that guy, Denny Thompson, his own trainer, who we expected to have on, and after the conversation, feel like Mac Jones should go number one, right? I expected this guy to hype him up, like, beyond levels. Maybe he's even better than Trevor Lawrence. He didn't.
He was frank.
He was realistic.
Yeah.
So Tannenbaum says that he's more athletic than people see or want to give him credit for. His trainer talked about his athleticism yesterday. Does this guy move a little bit?
No. I saw somebody the other day talk about he's sneaky athletic. He's as athletic as we all think he is. I mean, he's... To the average Joe, yeah, he can move, but to an NFL player, it's like he's standing still. So I think you are getting what you get with Mac. You're getting guys who's going to distribute the ball and get you in and out of good situations. And if that's the identity of your offense and what you want it to be, then that's what you're going to get. But he's certainly not going to outrun an edge rusher or a contain guy and pick up something on 3rd and 5.
So who do you believe?
So here's my feeling on this one, guys. Why would you move up in the draft or even use the 15th pick in the draft to get a guy like that when you maybe have a better chance of getting a Jimmy Garoppolo? At least you know exactly what he is, okay? You've got to, if you're going to move up in the draft in the first round, for a quarterback, you have to get a guy that you project is going to be one of those top five quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah,
no?
I agree, but this is more about, like, you know, having Mike Tannenbaum on to break down a player and tell you he's athletic while his trainer comes on and says, no, no, he's not. So, I mean, who do you believe?
No.
Yeah.
Who do you believe?
Well, it's funny because
what is Tannenbaum talking
and
about?
I would say like some of the attributes that they're talking about, they're pretty important. So Brock Osweiler had basically taken over the job as quarterback for the Denver Broncos. This is when before the Denver Broncos won that Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning gets hurt. Brock Osweiler is playing great. But you're like, oh, hell, you know, it's going to be a whole Drew Brees, Tom Brady thing all over again. But this time it's going to be Peyton Manning. Well, the Denver Broncos aren't having it because they'd rather have a guy who can't throw, literally can't hold on to the football and can't really throw at all with any force whatsoever because he knows what play to get you in. He's not going to turn it over. So for a guy like Mac Jones, sure, that is important. Like when you're 35 and you cannot, all your skills have left you. He, to me, is a second-round guy. And I think next week we'll probably be talking about Kyle Trask. What does Mel Kiper say about Kyle Trask?
No, second-round guy.
What does he say about Kellen Mond? Hey, where are the other quarterbacks? Where are the forget about the top five. Where are those other, you know, 6 to 10 guys that are going to go in the second, third round? Those are the guys we need to be focusing on. Like, we should focus on that.
I would agree. I think they're more likely to do that than they are to be.
Like, if you think Mac Jones is going top 10, then we should not have this discussion.
Right. Are we going to hear this year in the draft that, you know, they're not going to draft a quarterback in that second, third, fourth, fifth round because they don't think he's any better than Jared Stidham?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to.
Heard that last year, remember?
Again. Yeah, they're not doing that.
Just Stidham would be the third quarterback off the board in this year's draft. That. I mean, think about the foolishness that people were trying to peddle. He would have been, well, I think it was the third quarterback in the draft last year, and they're not going after a kid in the second, third, fourth, fifth round because they're not better than Stidham. They love Stidham. I mean, how ridiculous does that sound now to not bring a guy in to compete with this kid?
That's why my point is, like, so you hear the Tannenbaum sound, and he's obviously evaluating him from afar, probably because I'm sure he's watching film, and he's saying, oh, he's a little bit, you know, faster than people think. You ask his trainer, can he move a little bit? No.
All right, let me ask you a question here because I just saw this Adam Schefter. The Vikings have released tight end Kyle Rudolph.
Grab him.
He's a free agent. Grab him now.
Yep.
Just grab him now and move on. You got your tight end. You got
Adam
your two rookies. What? Talking about Rudolph now for a couple of years, you got your two rookies and you got Kyle Rudolph, a veteran. He's 31 years old. He can still play. Just grab your tight end, move on, and focus on other positions.
See, I think, and he's been hurt too, so that's a problem. You know, you're going to have to go through that. But I would say that is where the Patriots can feast, guys. They have lots of money, and there are a lot of teams that are going to cut guys because they're making too much money or they were injured this past year. They're concerned about them. That's what you do. I mean, Kyle Van Noy, who got cut by Miami today, that's another guy you could see the Patriots going for. And by the way, he thinks part of it was his hip injury. He even said it, I'm surprised and disappointed in their decision. As a captain, I gave my all to the team. He was a captain on that team. I fought through a painful hip injury during the season, including spending a night in the hospital after a game. I was brought there to be a leader, and I know my teammates looked up to me and respected me. I'm looking forward to making an impact on my next team on and off the field. Those are the type of guys that are going to be out there.
I always.
That's called resume, right there.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's like
I'm a leader.
I'm a leader. Guys respected me. I can add a lot to the team.
I had
team.
An injury. That's why I didn't play so well.
Signed Kyle Van Noy. Contact me at
self promotion. I hear that. I'm like, okay. So you're doing the Cam thing. We cut him because it wasn't that good. Nobody knew that I was in the hospital. I couldn't walk. I had a bad hip, and I was a leader. And people respected me, and I made $15 million, and I'm not going to stand for this anymore. So, I listen, and Brian Flores was his guy.
Yeah. Knew about him intimately. I think, but these are the type of guys that get cut, Rudolph the same way, that the Patriots can jump on here. Okay, because they're, you know, it's a market where
But Rudolph's not going to be breaking the bank anymore.
No.
So, I mean, once again.
I'm not sure Van Noy's going to break the bank.
No. But again, I think they have to, like, break the bank to get a couple good players here. But a guy like Kyle Rudolph, you know, put him in another category. Okay, Kyle, like, your money is what it is, right? Like, you're going to be making, whatever, it's $4 or $5 million. I don't know.
Yeah.
Veteran coming off an IR.
Yeah.
So, you know, these guys are offering you five. We're offering you four and a half, five. Okay. Now, where do you want to play, Kyle? Go by Hunter Henry. Tight end, I want to play with a good quarterback.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? Like, so Rudolph might be sitting there saying, okay, I want to go to New England, maybe fill in for Jonnu Smith.
because maybe he's a free agent. Maybe I go to Tennessee with that offense and that quarterback and those wide receivers and that running back, or should I go to New England? That's the problem you're going to run into with aging guys like that.
Real quickly, though. So Kyle Rudolph was one of the tight ends that I thought were going to be available. Like, there was Zach Ertz was another one. He only played 11 games last year. He's still with Philly. And Kyle Rudolph. So the Vikings saved about $8 million. He's 31 years old.
Played 12 games last year.
Yep. He's 31 years old. Yeah. So, no, he's definitely not going to make as much money. But he's 31, probably 32.
Perfect.
Perfect.
He's a perfect candidate for that.
Yes. You know, you got some younger guys. Yeah. Right? You're not – listen, it's a probably a – it'll probably be written up as a three-year deal, but it's really two.
Right.
Yeah. You're willing to give him 30 – you're 32 as far as age goes.
So
32
close one hole right now. You can sign him right now.
So listen, all he's doing is keeping the seat warm for the other guys to catch up.
I just don't think he's going to make much money out there, and he may not have that many opportunities out there. Here's another one to watch in the next few weeks to see how many corners are cut by their teams because they're making too much money. And that's another position where guys make a lot of money, okay? Jason Luckenfor today, most GMs have considered it a foregone conclusion that the Patriots would trade top corner Stephon Gilmore this offseason, and I haven't heard anything about a contract extension, so a trade still seems like eventuality. There's another guy. So now if they can get a second and maybe something else for Gilmore, they save that money because they're not going to satisfy him by giving him a new deal beyond what he's getting right now. And there could be a corner out there who's not as good as Gilmore, but maybe is that next level down where they get him a lot cheaper.
Yeah, I can see them doing that, trying to get younger at that position. Now, we always talk about Gilmore's contract and moving him. Of course, there's a $9 million cap hit.
Yep.
Dead cap. And you save $7.5 million. But, you know, you save $7.5 million. And you invest it. You know, it's not a great free agent corner market. I think Kid Willie Jackson out of Cincy is like the number one corner. But, you know, you could sit there and say, let's get younger.
Guys are going to get cut.
26, 27 years old. You know, we'll give this guy $10, $12 million to be a replace Gilmore, who we just, you know, got a second-round pick for. We still value the position. We need to, you know, replace him. So him and J.C. Jackson side by side. I can see them getting younger, that position, and moving on.
Yeah, so I wouldn't just look at the free agents because I think you're going to see a lot of guys cut, as we know.
Well, A.J. Bouye's already been cut.
Yeah, so teams have to get under the cap number right now because they have to open up space for draft picks. They have to open up space for moves they want to make. And I think you're going to see an awful lot of it, and that's where the Patriots should thrive out there. This hour brought to you by Dell Technologies. Today, boys, is National Read Across America Day, as we know. And what better way to celebrate this holiday than the PC principal himself, Lions head coach Dan Campbell. We got it for you coming up next. Time, Hunt.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
And I'm thrilled about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
So brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. You donate today, car is picked up tomorrow. Simple as that. Go to carsforkids.com, 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Well, as we mentioned earlier, today's big day. It's Read Across America Day. Matter of fact, March is actually National Reading Month. It was originally to commemorate the birthday of Dr. Seuss, but I don't think we do that anymore. That's out now.
Got to find another
author.
My kid
has like Dr. Seuss week, and they're all like dressing up weird. I guess they got to stop.
Well, there's just six books
that
they can't read. You can read Cat in the Hat. You can read Green Eggs and Ham. You can read, The Grinch That Stole Christmas.
So today we bring you Detroit Lions coach Dan Campbell. In the holiday spirit, he reads from his favorite books.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dan Campbell, and I'm the head coach of the Detroit Lions, and I'm excited to celebrate March as Reading Month with you by sharing one of my favorite books, The Very Hungry Caterpillar. In the light of the moon, a little egg lay on a leaf. There it is right there. Look at the moon looking over.
It's a guy that's got kids.
All right. One Sunday morning, the worm came up, and pop, one of the eggs came, a tiny, very hungry caterpillar. That was from that egg. Look at the sun. Gave it life, warmth. He started to look for some food. On Tuesday, he ate through two pears. On Wednesday, he ate through three plums, but yet he was still hungry. All right. On Thursday, he ate through four strawberries, and he was still hungry. Look at all this food that he's eating. He's hungry, right? On Friday, he ate through five oranges, but he was still hungry. Look at all this. Do you imagine what it'd feel like if you ate all this? Think about how full your belly would be. Now, he wasn't hungry anymore, and he wasn't a little caterpillar anymore.
Oh, was he?
He was a big, fat caterpillar.
Ooh.
Oh,
which you could imagine, right? All that he had just eaten.
Sure can.
I thought it was going to be a butterfly.
He built a small house called a cocoon around himself. Oh. There's the cocoon.
Took out a guy's kneecap.
And then he bit him.
He bit him.
Took and this is what kneecap. Showed. He was a beautiful butterfly.
Sure okay, was.
Great. That's what came out of the cocoon. So it was a process, right?
Thanks, Dan.
Trust the process.
The end.
Doesn't he realize?
Beautiful butterflies today. Huh?
Okay.
What a nice, sensitive
it's
guy.
It's 2021. Yeah. You can't fat shame at people. It's 2021. Doesn't Dan know that by now? What's he doing? He's going to be great for us. I'm not sure he's going to be great for Detroit Lions fans, but he's going to be great for us.
Yeah. We have to keep...
How are you?
Hello, Mutt. He won't last 2 years. Well, not last 2 years.
No, you got the wrong guy.
Middle next year.
He's got a six-year contract.
Okay. Want to bet right now? Oh, we can't bet in the state. Whoops, forgot. Don't do that.
All right, so this team's going to be built on. We're going to kick you in the teeth.
Connecticut.
All right, and when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right, and we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. And he wasn't a little caterpillar anymore.
What an idiot. Oh, my God.
He was a big, fat caterpillar.
Connecticut opened up gambling, huh?
Yeah, congratulations, Mohegan Sun. Yep. They came to a deal today with Governor Ned Lamont.
Are we the only one?
On a deal.
Well, of course we are.
Well, right now, yes.
In New England?
Vermont still. Well, Vermont's going to get there this summer, too. So we'll be the last one in New England, yes.
Imagine that Vermont's going to have gambling on games before Massachusetts.
If we're the last to do everything.
Because having grown up here, the red tape and everyone trying to get their hands, like they, you know that kid in the cookie jar, Christian? Yep. Like when you were a kid, you'd stick your hand and try to get, and it gets stuck because everyone wants to get, everyone wants a layer piece.
The last, the last of everything. That's what we are.
Yeah, yeah. Everything.
It took 2 years for the legalized marijuana shops to open. Yep. And they still, they wrote them out slow. So we're going to talk about that tonight because Lou's right. Connecticut
marijuana
greenlit it today.
Tonight?
Hashtag let us bet. At 8:30. But we're going to talk quarterbacks because the approach at quarterback is now very much in question about what they're going to do, whether it's draft a guy or sign a guy. And I'm going to make my push for Mitch Trubisky. It's 7 o'clock tonight. It's Mitch time. Mitch, shut up that stupid list. Greg Rosenthal. What a loser. Oh, my God.
101. Cam Newton.
101. With good listen, but my God. Quarterbacks, let's go.
All right, Monday night coming up next. We'll do it again tomorrow, fellas. 2 p.m. Be here, okay? Have a great night. Stay safe out there.
We're going to get up, and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.